This is Around the Rim with LaChyna Robinson.
Hello, basketball fans. Yes, it is us, your ESPNW Women's Basketball Podcast, Around the Rim. And we are back for college basketball season. I want to thank everyone that caught up with us during WNBA. We ended the WNBA season with one Rebecca Brunson. So if you haven't checked out our last pod, Brunson was fantastic. She is the only player in WNBA history that has five championships. And I really walked away with more of an appreciation for who Rebecca Brunson is and what she stands for, because she's not a name that you hear very often. You know, she does all of the little things for the Minnesota Lynx dynasty. And so if you get a chance, take a listen to that. If you don't know and aren't familiar with our podcast, welcome. I am the host, LaChyna Robinson, and I'm joined by my fantastic and fabulous producer, Tarika Foster Brasby. Hey, Tarika.
Hey, girl. How are you?
I'm doing great. Geared up and ready for another college basketball season. Tarika and I took part in ESPN's National Women's Basketball Media Day. We had some of the top coaches and players in Bristol. So Tarika and I sat down with them. We captured some great videos. So if you have a chance, you can check out our Twitter feeds and Instagram and Facebook. We got some candid moments, but we will be giving you those exclusive interviews through the first couple of months of college basketball season. And we are starting today with the number one team in the preseason AP poll, none other than the Connecticut Huskies, who, going back to last season, suffered a heartbreaking loss in the semifinals of the national championships at the hand of none other than Mississippi State. So we'll talk a little bit about that with Gino. Also, Gabby Williams will be on this show, starting her senior campaign for Gino Auriemma, but there's a ton of talent. There is a ton of talent on this team. I believe they have three players on the AP preseason All-American team, so they are stacked. But more than anything, I just appreciate talking to Gino about life. He's got his own podcast now. He's also on Twitter, so you guys need to check him out there. We talk about basketball, but he is always willing to share his knowledge, and that's one thing I appreciate. You know, as an up-and-comer in the analyst world, what coaches are willing to talk to you about and share with you is important. That's how you learn. That's how you learn the history of the game. That's how you learn the strategy. That's how you get into the minds of our coaches and players. So I'm just grateful for Gino for always taking the time to help me grow and learn. So we hope you enjoy Gino, as well as Gabby Williams, who's going to share some very interesting tidbits, not only about herself, but also about this upcoming senior campaign. So without further delay, here's head coach Gino Auriemma.
Well, women's basketball fans, we have a treat. Around the Rim is in our second full season of college women's basketball, and we had not yet talked to the GOAT, ooh, the legend, who is Coach Gino Auriemma of the UConn Huskies. Welcome, Gino.
Great to be here.
We're excited to have you.
Oh, wow. I like that.
So you've got little sound effects for you.
Wow.
We're pulling out the big dogs.
That's nice. you have them hidden pretty well. I don't see any of them around here.
I know, right? We do. All 1 million of them who are listening to us right now. Well, we're excited to have you on our podcast. And actually, that's a good place to start. You're starting your own podcast. Tell us about that.
We did. So far, we've had one episode. We talked to Kyrie Irving, and we try to talk about things that maybe go a little bit off the rails a little bit. And if you want to listen to Kyrie describe his theory on why the earth
is
flat.
That's exactly where I was going. I can't wait to hear that one.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. And then we've got Tiger coming up next.
Wow.
Yeah. And then with the start of the NBA season, I didn't want to talk that much, so we had Charles on where I could just, you know, start the podcast and go, so what do you think? And then an hour later go, thank you. It was nice having everybody.
Yeah, he'll do all the talking.
Absolutely.
He'll do all the talking. Yeah.
So we're trying to make it so that obviously it's some of it's timely.
Mm-hmm.
Like in this case, Tiger's going to play at the end of November, and the NBA season, and Kyrie just got traded, you know. Some of it's just going to be stuff that I'm interested in, you know, maybe, you know, we're in the process of lining up authors and scientists and what people would also think of as celebrities, you know, that do stuff. Yeah. Just so that we can find out, you know, what makes these people who they are, as opposed to this is what I do. Because when you read about them, you read about what they do.
Yes.
But you don't really get that much of, like, this is who they are.
Yes.
Beyond the other stuff. And I'm as excited to talk to them as anything else.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting. I'm a sociology major.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm always curious, like, what was it about someone's life that led them to where
exactly.
they are? What were their experiences? How did society shape
that's
them,
right.
their upbringing, where they're from, the culture, all of those
couldn't
things.
Couldn't agree with
so
you more.
So intriguing.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by that stuff. And my players and coaches, you know, they know that I'm constantly reading stories of books and novels or, you know, any kind, biographies, autobiographies, you know, historical fiction, you know, whatever the case may be. And I want to know, all right, this is what happened, and I want to know why.
Right.
What was that person thinking when they made these decisions? And what led to that? Because everybody knows what happened.
Right.
I want to know why it happened. And everybody knows kind of the end result. And I want to know what went into making those things happen. Because to me, that's the fascinating part. Because you know what? Things like that keep happening.
Yes.
And if you know what led to some of those decisions, you're going to look back and you're going to go, man, I had similar decisions to make.
Yeah.
You know, and I think most people look ahead, especially today's young kids, you know, like everything's technology driven and it's all about the future. And I get that. But, you know, I'm 63. I have more of a past than I do a future.
Look, yes.
Yes.
No, I appreciate that.
Yes.
And I also think it's important, you know, we live in a time where in social media where we can post our highlights, right?
Oh.
So this is the best picture of me.
It's
this
crazy.
Is the best moment of my life.
Crazy.
This is the best outfit I've ever worn.
Oh.
But what about the failures? You know, what about the journey?
That's
what about
right.
all the things that happened along the way and some of the things that are happening behind the scenes that no one knows about? You
right.
know, that's where people learn the lessons of how to be successful. And
you know, with today's kids and this idea of, again, everybody trying to outdo everyone else with their best. So, you know, you'll post something on Instagram that makes you look way bigger in stature or personality than you really are. And then you post another one and people get this picture of you as this incredible human being that has just this perfect life.
Yeah.
Now your friends or your peers or whatever, they're going to try to match that. And now they're going to embellish everything about themselves. Well, when is somebody going to have the courage to put, listen, this is me and this is half of me. I'm a big screw up.
Right.
I get this wrong. I get that wrong. I remember when I screwed this up. Here's a picture of me as a failure.
Yes.
Or failing, not as a failure, failing. I think that would encourage other people to go, you know, that happens to me too.
Yeah.
Why does everything have to be, you know, with rose-colored glasses? That's not the real world.
Yes. With the filters. See, that's the new rose-colored glasses. The filter,
the
right?
Filters. The filters.
All the cropping, the angles, the Photoshop, all those things. Yeah.
Yeah, I like my wine unfiltered.
Yeah. Speaking of wine, I was actually with Charles Barkley last night.
Oh, boy.
As he debuted his wine.
Charles has a wine?
Charles has a wine.
And he didn't tell me that.
All proceeds are going to the Boys and Girls Clubs. So he's doing it for a good cause.
All right.
But I don't know about the wine quality. I'm interested to see what you think.
Yeah.
I tasted it. But
no
it
wonder
was...
he didn't tell me. We just had him on our podcast.
Yeah.
He didn't mention anything about the wine.
He's probably nervous about your...
Yeah.
You're much more of a wine connoisseur than I am.
Yeah.
So he's probably worried about that aspect
of
it.
Well, yeah. We'll get to the bottom of that.
So on that social media tip, we heard that you're on Twitter. Now, is this true? We heard that Coach Auriemma has jumped back in the Twitterverse.
Yeah. Well, I was encouraged to do so to promote my podcast.
Oh, okay.
So they're like, well, you need to do this, you know, because it'll get, you know, people involved and they'll get listened to your podcast and all that. And my coaching staff's not happy about it because they think that I'm going to do like they do in Washington, you know, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and start tweeting out like ridiculous stuff,
no.
You know?
Yeah.
I said, no, you don't have to worry about that. I'm not going to do that. So far, I've been very restrained and try to keep it very politically correct, you know? And I intend to stay on that path for as long as possible.
Yeah, because you had an account before, right? What happened to that one?
I think somebody got into it, so I just decided to get out of it. And plus, I probably said some things that I thought were funny, but in today's world, you know, humor's going out the window.
Yes.
But what ends up happening is it's like if you're in the public
eye,
you're not allowed to use humor because people are going to misinterpret it. Everything has got to be, you know, like this idea of, well, we shouldn't promote stereotypes.
Right.
Okay. I get that. Because promoting a negative stereotype reinforces the negativity that people are going to latch onto.
Right.
Okay. I get that part. But there's certain humor in certain types of stereotype. Like I remember one of my former players who does TV, I was going crazy on the sideline. And she made a comment like, there he goes, acting like another Italian crazy person, you know, talking with their hands all over the place, you know, blah, 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 blah. And somebody came in and said, you know, that's disrespectful, Coach Auriemma and Italians. And I said to myself, every Italian that I know does that. It's not a lie.
Right.
If it's not a lie, it's not wrong.
Right. And this is coming firsthand, right?
Exactly.
You're like, actually.
So some things are humorous.
Right.
But I think we've lost sight of some of that.
Well, it's hard to get it in 140 characters sometimes, too. You know, I'm hoping that they go ahead and extend
the
number of characters. But that might be bad. That might be bad.
Those people that are already a problem at 140 are going to be twice as much of a problem.
That is very true. They can write a whole novel on Twitter.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Well, we're happy you're back on Twitter because that means we get to hear more of your knowledge, and we're excited about your podcast as well. We're excited about your team. So let's start back and move forward. The big story, obviously, was last season you didn't win a national championship, which is always a big story when you don't win the national championship.
Isn't that stupid? I mean, when you think about it, you go – so we've gotten to the point now where it's a bigger story if we don't win than if we do win. Whereas in 1995, when we won our first championship, I remember we were coming home from the airport and we're driving down I-91 towards campus, towards Hartford and then campus. And all the overpasses were packed and fire trucks were lining the route. And we had a police escort, motorcycles, everywhere we went. People just pulled over and were yelling and screaming on the side of the road. And there was helicopter flying over us. And they broke into the soap operas to show where we were on the road on our way to campus. I remember Jamel Elliott, one of our players, goes, "Coach, this is like OJ." Because this is what was happening back then, right?
Yeah.
Like the Bronco going down the freeway,
awesome.
Right? And now... yeah, you know, Connecticut won a national championship for the fourth time. Yeah. And back to the weather. Okay.
Over it.
Now we lose. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So I guess we've reached a certain level.
You have.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's great. You know, the expectation is Connecticut always wins. I mean,
yeah.
And we have that conversation over and over again because people say, well, should I watch or should I not watch? Because Connecticut's going to win anyway.
Right.
But the beautiful style of basketball, you know, your team, I mean, it's always fun to watch. But looking at this particular team, you know, last year after you guys lost, I think you made a comment that maybe we weren't ready for this.
For sure.
How ready is this year's team?
Well, if we are in that situation in the semifinals of the national championship, then I will know if we're ready, completely ready. However, having been there last year and what happened to that team last year, in some ways, and I talked to my team about this, in some ways I said to them, you know, you really have to deserve this. You have to do everything right along the way, or you need to get lucky. One of those two things. When we weren't picked to win a national championship and Baylor got upset with Stephanie and Bria, Stephanie Dolson, Bria Hartley's junior year, we weren't ready to win it. I said, but if somebody screws up and opens the door for us a little bit, we could get lucky and win it. And exactly what happened. Baylor got beat. They were heavy favorites. We went up there, okay, and we got it. Good. Last year, I think with the three All-Americans graduating, with the streak, with all that stuff that was going on, we get to the Final Four. All those kids that were playing in that Final Four, none of them, we actually had one starter that played in the national championship game on that team. No one else had started or played a big role. And now they're looking around. And I had said during one timeout, all right, listen, guys, everything's going to be okay. And they're looking at me, goes, good, good. I said, because I just got a text and Stewie, Tuck, and Mariah are coming at halftime. So we're going to be okay. You understand? And they look at me like, oh, I said, because that's what it looks like out there.
Yeah.
You guys are waiting for somebody to come bail you out.
Yeah.
So now I think that experience, if we earn it this season along the way, win or lose, I mean, our schedule, we might, I hope, lose a couple games. I think we'll be better prepared, but we'll see.
Now looking at the balance, you know, as you think about the teams with Stewie, Mariah, you kind of knew when you were in a tough spot or you needed a basket, you know, Stewie was probably going to be involved, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This team is so balanced, very talented. Who do you see being your best player? I mean, you've got Azaree Stevens.
Yeah.
You know, Lou, obviously.
Yeah. I would say the best all-around player that we have is probably Lou. And I would say because she can affect the game from a lot of different spots on the floor. You know, she's our best three-point shooter with the best range and the best percentage by a long shot. But she's gotten better that the way they guard her is they try to put somebody that can get into her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gotten better at moving without the ball. And she's better at going in the lane and demanding the ball in the lane. And she's really, really good off the dribble now, as opposed to just staying there, catch and shoot. So whatever she doesn't have, Gabby will make up for. And whatever areas where Gabby can't handle it, Nafisa will make up for that. And whatever Crystal is missing, because Crystal Dangerfield's made incredible strides, I'm hoping that Kia can offset some of that with her experience. So with all that, you go, well, you haven't answered the question. Who's your best player? I think that's going to evolve, but I think Lou impacts the game the most. Now, having said that, as the season goes on, I could see that being Azaree because she's the same. She stretches you because of her three. She scores in the post. She'll block some shots. She's a pretty good ball handler for somebody 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it looks like we've got a lot of answers to a lot of the questions. We shall see.
And that's actually not what I expected. I thought you would say Gabby off the top, because most people say she's the best all around. She can defend. She can do a variety of things.
I had a pro coach come to practice for the last couple of weeks just to watch. And I asked him to kind of keep an eye on us and give me a scouting report. And he said that Gabby Williams might be the best athlete he's ever seen play women's basketball.
Wow.
Now, if we can just get her to feel good about her shot, like feel good about it.
Yeah.
Like she makes just enough, but I think there's still some, I'm not sure. It's probably the only part of her game that she's a little bit unsure,
right,
is what happens 18 feet from the basket. And we're working on that. And if she gets that, forget it.
Yeah. I mean, her reflexes, her reaction time, the quickness, the speed. I mean, it's just her athleticism is incredible.
Her explosiveness.
She makes me want to be a vegan.
Yeah, she's not anymore. That was a one-year deal.
She's done? Okay.
That was a one-year deal. We'll see where it goes.
Well, Coach, they're giving me the wrap, and I didn't even – I've got like 40,000 more questions over here.
You'll just have to have me back.
I know.
Well, I told you. Coach, we've been trying to get you for
we have.
I know. You have to have me back. Well, you know, if there was somebody to meet me at the gate, I would have been here earlier.
Oh, you know what?
So
I'm not in it.
Trouble.
I know.
My name's Bennett.
Thank you so much for stopping by. Good luck this season. Thank you for just, you know, making the game fun. You know, I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
And I've said this to several people. I've learned more from you
about
the game of basketball then I probably have, I would say, 100 other college coaches combined.
Wow.
Number one
that.
Is obviously you have great knowledge. The other thing is your willingness to share and talk. Mm. Like, Gino, is as much as you've accomplished, you still come over to us to practice. You talk about what's happening. You're sharing. You don't keep secrets, right?
Yeah.
Like, these days, everyone's like, yeah, can't come in our practice, can't learn, can't. What is that?
I have no idea, because a lot of that stuff doesn't happen in men's basketball. Like, those guys are, you're doing men's games, which I think is fabulous, you know, that you and Doris and Carol Lawson, you know, these people that grew up doing women's basketball are now, according to a lot of people, oh, they're legitimate now because they do men's basketball. Right. You know, stop it.
And it's
you
not it's something, I'll be honest with you, it's not something that I aspired to do. No. They offered it. I said, okay,
but,
I'll do it.
But when you're really good at something, you're really good at every platform of it. Doesn't just mean, well, they're really good at women's basketball, or, you know, they're really good at men's basketball. They can't do women's basketball. Why? Or they're really good at college, but they can't do pro. Why? The game is the game, no matter who's playing it.
Yeah.
So the fact that you guys are all doing it, I think, is fabulous. But in men's basketball, people are willing to share more because they know the better I make my opponents, the better I make people who are playing against us. The more times those people can beat us, the more legitimate it looks when we beat them.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I want to keep everybody in the dark so that, you know, we're beating bad teams and bad coaches.
Right.
Well, how much fun is that?
Exactly.
You know, I want everybody to get better.
To be challenged. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want everybody to get better. I want to get better. That's why I still go. I go to camps. I go to clinics every summer, every fall. Every fall, I'm at a different training camp. And every time I go there, I go, man, I got to be the dumbest guy in the world. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. And I didn't know that. And I come away from all these things feeling like I just learned a lot. I mean, you can go anywhere, no matter what, and come away with, wow, I'm a little bit smarter than I was before. And that's our job.
Yeah.
One is to get better, and the other is to make other people better. That's our job.
I'm always smarter after talking to you.
Wow.
Thank you so much for sharing the knowledge with
us.
And Tarika's going to kill me, so we got to go. But thank you, Coach. We appreciate you coming by.
Great to be here.
All right.
Thank
you. Good luck this season.
All right.
Fans, that is it for Gino. But coming up right after the break, we have Gabby Williams, an exclusive sit down with the senior for the Connecticut Huskies. And don't forget to support Around the Rim using the hashtag Around the Rim. We want to hear from you. Comments, criticism, suggestions, questions, whatever it is. Me and Tarika are ready for it. So hashtag Around the Rim on Twitter to reach us. Also, you can subscribe and leave comments about our podcast on either Apple Podcasts or also obviously with the ESPN app. Download us. And if you subscribe, you will be one of the first to receive our podcast when they're released. So get on the internet right now, get on your phone, and hashtag Around the Rim, download, subscribe, leave comments.
All right, women's basketball fans, I am excited to have not only one of my favorite players to watch, but one of my favorite basketball personalities, none other than UConn star Gabby Williams. Welcome, Gabby.
Thank you.
Yeah, I kind of like cyber stalk you a little bit, and you know, I'm always checking to see, oh, okay, what's Gabby been up to? Because you're so fly. Let's
Thanks.
Start there. So, I know this is supposed to be about basketball, but Tarika will tell you, girl, I'm going to take us a million different places. So, most recently, you dressed up as Aaliyah for Halloween,
yes.
which I thought was fantastic. But you are a big music fan. You're almost like an old soul, because I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. she appreciates Aaliyah. That's great, because you're kind of young, right? I mean, how old were you when Aaliyah passed? Probably like
I was five.
Oh, you know exactly how old you are.
2001. Yes,
oh, there you go. Okay, so you were five, but like I see you sometimes playing vinyls. Like you're a really kind of old soul when it comes to music. What has been the influence of music on your life? How'd that start?
Yeah, well, with my mom's side of the family, I grew up with like AC/DC and Rolling Stones and Guns N' Roses and that stuff. And then on my dad's side, we always had like the Earth, Wind & Fire, the Prince, the Michael Jackson. And I just always loved it. And I always appreciated music. I remember I had like a video of Michael Jackson's Bad Tour at Wembley, and I watched it until I learned all the dance moves.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. We need that footage.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
So, like, I mean, I've just always appreciated music. One of my cousins is a DJ. I mean, he has a huge record collection and got me into it. And yeah, I've just always appreciated it.
So how many records do you have? Because I see you always, you know, Ooh. You play your records. Do you have a large collection at this point?
A lot more than I probably should have bought. But people also, like, my family will give me some and go to recycled records at like a dollar or like garage sales. But I have too many to count.
And what is it about the record that you like? You like that little like crackling sound? That like, what is it that you enjoy about the records?
I like the records because you feel like involved in the music. I think now we just kind of put on a playlist, or there's a playlist already for you, and it's all about the single and stuff. You know, I like listening to the whole album, and then you actually find new artists like that because you're like, oh, who was featured on this album? And then, you know, you got to flip the vinyl and you're always engaged in it, which I like.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of, I saw that and I was like, oh man, maybe I need to get me a record player.
Yeah.
Because it's been a long time. But let me ask you about something else. I wanted to get your opinion on this.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a WNBA team now in Vegas.
Yes.
What does that mean for you? Like, I just think about how excited I always am. And I'm not even from Atlanta.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I have a WNBA team in my city. What does that mean to have this WNBA team at home for you?
Right. Well, I heard that they were actually thinking about putting a team like in Sacramento or the Bay Area. So I would have been like a little more excited about that because that's closer to home for me. But Vegas, you know, I still have people I know in Vegas, friends and stuff like that. And it'll be an opportunity if I ever get the chance to play a game there. You know, my family can come see me. And I mean, it's a lot closer than San Antonio. So
wait, but I thought that you actually, did you live in Vegas for some time?
I'm from Reno.
Oh, yeah, but you did not grow up there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. How much time did you spend in Reno?
No, I never spent time in Vegas. I mean, I was born and raised in Reno.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Vegas, I mean, I went there a lot.
But it's far.
It's far, yeah.
Oh, is it?
It's like 8-hour drive.
Oh.
But it's a lot closer than San Antonio.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't realize
it was
8 hours.
But I still know a lot of people in Vegas. And so, you know, we have state there all the time. And I know people who went, I don't know. Yeah.
So not as close. But it's still nice to have a team there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay out of the casinos. speaking of WNBA, you know, you really blew up, I feel like. The last couple of years because people watched your athletic ability. Like, you are an unbelievable athlete. Your reaction time, your quickness. I mean, you get to a ball before my eyes can actually shift to where the ball is. Growing up, how did you develop just those instincts and that natural ability?
Yeah, well, I grew up as a gym rat. And I think that kind of helped with my, you know, like my basketball IQ and my ability to anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, honestly, I think plays look a lot more athletic than they really are. I think I just kind of maybe like anticipated it well. But yeah, I think just growing up in the gym.
And when did you start? How old were you when you started playing?
I think I started really playing like competitively in fifth grade. But I grew up, like I had older siblings who played basketball. And, you know, we were always doing camps and stuff like that, my family. So I was always in the gym. But I think I started really getting competitive in fifth grade.
Did you have players that you looked up to, NBA, WNBA?
Mm-hmm. Well, I always looked up to my sister who played. She played at the University of Nevada, Reno, and then played overseas in Australia for a little bit. And so I know I always bugged her because I always wanted to be with her team and her teammates, and I always bugged her. But growing up, I loved watching Tamika Catchings, especially. Diana, I love watching Diana. She's so fun to watch. And yeah, I mean, I always watched the UConn greats. I liked Candace Parker when I was younger, and I tried to watch a lot of basketball.
You remind me of Tamika Catchings in so many ways. Actually, one of my favorite quotes about Tamika comes from Gino. There's some curse words in there, so I don't know if Tarika's going to let me say it, so I won't say it. But basically, it was just that she wants to beat you every possession on both ends of the floor. And that's mm-hmm. what's unique about your game is that, you know, you're not just an offensive player. You're also a great defensive player. And Tamika plays relentlessly. You know, yeah. I mean, never give. I always tell the story. It's her and Maya that do this, actually, both of them. Neither one of them have ever played in an All-Star game. And what I mean by that is They come to the All-Star game to win. Yes. This is just another game. This is not, let's just, you know, have fun and, you know, show the fans a good time. Maya and Tamika, they're there to win.
Right.
Okay. Like, they're warming up. They're sweating. They're like, everybody's just like, okay, we're just, no. But that's just how Tamika is. But it reminds me a lot of you. So on the basketball side, God. Hate to relive this. I don't know. You don't want to either. But the shot. Mm-hmm. Do you have it hanging up on your wall, like somewhere as motivation, or is it your like screensaver?
I mean, it might as well be.
Because everybody keeps asking you about it, or?
Well, just, I mean, it's everywhere, period. Yeah. It seems like. And I feel like I can't go anywhere without seeing that image or that picture. And I mean, it's brought up all the time. Not the shot, but you know. Just the game in general.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it might as well just be hung up on my wall.
And is it something that it is motivating you this year, or something you think about, or is it like, okay, I'm over it?
Oh no, I'm not over it. I don't think I'll ever be over it. And I think I'm trying to use that, you know, to have some edge to this year. You know, I think that's something we lacked last year. I think we were so good sometimes, and so many shots went in that we never had to like get gritty and rough and have some edge. So hopefully this year, because of what happened last year, we'll have that.
And how long did it take, would you say, for you personally? Because like I'm a sore loser. Mm-hmm. And obviously a lot of things went right for you guys for a long time to have that incredible streak.
Mm-hmm.
But when were you finally able to kind of like get over losing?
I mean, I had to get rid of my phone pretty much. I was off social media for like 2 weeks. Kind of trapped myself in the room and watched Netflix and just stayed away from basketball in general. And then after, I think, a week and a half or two, I just got, you know, right back into the gym and just approached it like I approached, you know, the last couple seasons as, all right, well, what am I going to get better at this year? And I mean, like I said, I'm not over it.
Yeah.
I'll never be over it.
I love that. Not over it. Yeah. Tarika. We've got some Twitter questions, I believe, for Gabby, right? We're going to take some questions from the audience. All right.
All right. So this one comes from Namaj1110. And she wants to know, what are you personally trying to achieve in your last and final season at UConn?
Okay, well, the way I hear people talk about some of those great leaders and great captains and great teammates, I'm hoping that I leave and people say, you know, wow, Gabby was a great teammate to have. You know, I kind of hope that's my mark that I leave.
I like that.
Thank you.
Leadership. So are you yelling at everybody right now in practice, like, get over here, get in? And we're like, what's that look like right now for you?
I think for me, I'm more of a lead by example. I think Kia is the vocal one. You know, I try to be vocal, but I'm also like, I can't say anything to these people if I'm not doing it myself. So I'm definitely trying to lead by example. And last year I tried to, you know, set the tone energy wise, and I'm trying to do the same thing this year.
Love it. Thank you for that question from Twitter. Now back to my questions. So we heard from a little birdie that vegan life is over. Is vegan life over?
It's no.
Gino told me that. I'm snitching. Okay. I'm snitching.
Yeah, I'm not. I think he would be happy if it was over. I did after we lost, I was like, where's the pizza?
So I
did steer away from it. I've been going back and forth. I think just naturally now I just got in the habit of just not eating meat. Cheese is really hard to get away from. I still don't do milk. I don't do dairy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I still do a lot of cheese, and once in a while I'll get some pizza. But for the most part, I'm vegan.
And so you don't eat any? Do you eat seafood at all? Occasionally, oh,
yeah, occasionally.
See, I had to bring. See, yeah. I'm all over you, right?
you're right, because I love a good sushi bowl.
But
rare, you know. I'll never like, yeah. It'll be like a special occasion kind of thing.
Gotcha. So another question. Your Twitter handle, Mocha Frappuccino, is like the best Twitter handle in life.
Yeah.
Where was this inspiration drawn?
All right. So my friends back home, when like trap music and trap whatever kind of got popular, mm-hmm. it was honestly a joke, and it's almost like satire kind of. So like one of my friends' name was like Trap and Cheese or Trapple Juice, like just puns with trap.
I like that.
But none of my friends also play basketball, so no one sees that. So I was like, all right, I'll make mine Mocha Trappuccino for mocha frappuccino, and yeah, people, it got more attention than I expected.
That is excellent. Like the fact that you just kind of like, oh, mocha trappuccino. Like I, so what would mine be, Tarika? Ooh. Can you help us?
Yeah, I've been sitting over here trying to think of some stuff for you. Every time
China
I've
trappuccino.
Seen it. Well, no. Know, like, give me like 2 seconds. I'm gonna figure it out.
You could be Petty Crocker.
Why do I have to be Petty Crocker? I want trap in mine. I'm a trap princess. I'm not a trap queen, but I'm a trap princess. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So we'll figure something out, right? You give me something?
I'm going to figure something out.
Okay, good. We'll work on that. So looking at the team as it is right now, I mean, God, I was asking Coach who's going to be your best player, but you have so much talent. Who even knows? Azaray is someone who's intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, you know, I covered a lot of her games at Duke, and she's just such a unique physical player, and also in terms of her skill.
Yeah.
What have you seen so far from her?
Yeah, like you said, she is unique. I haven't seen a 6'6 player do the things that she does, especially offensively. You know, how many 6'6 players do you see that you can set a ball screen for, you know?
Yeah.
Or that can just, you know, step up and hit a three. Contested or uncontested. I mean, she does things that you don't see players her size do.
Yeah. How much of an impact will she have this year?
She's going to have a huge impact as far as, you know, giving us, well, one, you know, like I said, she's crazy talented. But she's going to give people different looks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we have Crystal in, then we're, you know, a little quicker. If we have her in, then we're taller. And how do you guard that? And, you know, I think it's adding depth, and, you know, we'll be able to come in and not lose anything but gain something new every time we make a sub.
And when you look at the schedule as a whole, because Gino always wants to challenge you guys, who are you looking forward to playing most?
I'm really, really excited for the Stanford game because that was the first game I lost here, and I didn't get an opportunity to even get on the court. My freshman year, I was going through it my freshman year. So I'm really excited for that game.
Don't we all go through it our freshman year? But I can imagine at that level, like playing for UConn, like I thought I was going through something, but yeah. Playing for UConn freshman year, I can imagine that. But that's going to be a really good game. What were you going through your freshman year? What was the adjustment like? Let me ask that, like trying to get to this level.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know it's going to be hard, but then you don't know what you don't know. Until you get to UConn, like, oh, yeah, you know, freshman year sucks. It's going to be hard. You're going to get yelled at and this. But you don't understand it until you go through it. And it's tough. No one's ever talked to you like that before. You've never been challenged like that before. And my freshman year, I didn't attack the challenge like I should have. You know, I was content with, okay, well, he says I'm not good enough, so whatever, I'm not good enough. And then after that Stanford loss, and I remember thinking, not only did I not play, but I didn't even want to go on the court because I didn't feel ready to play.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I was like, I never want to feel like that again. And I think that's when it kind of switched for me. And I started, you know, getting it together.
So we need to put you on, is it quadruple double alert for the Stanford game? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to just mark that down right now. I can't wait to tell that story when you play Stanford after you get the quadruple double, I'm going to say. Well, you know what? Gabby told me that the last time they played Stanford, this is what, no, that'll be cool. So I was just thinking, have you like ran into Morgan Williams since you've been here? Did you like bump her with your shoulder or something or like trip her?
No, I would never. I mean, people ask me like, oh, have you talked to her in this? And I was like, I never knew her before that game.
Right.
So I saw her. We waved, said hello. But we just don't know each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then after you walk by or wave, you say something under your breath like, you just wait. No, I'm just kidding. Well, Gabby, thank you so much for joining us. You are a light. I love watching you play. Keep letting that mocha trappuccino shine for the world with your Aaliyah costumes and your beautiful vinyls, all your records. Keep slaying, girl.
Thank
we love
you.
It. And thank you for coming on Around the Rim.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck this season.
Thanks.
Well, guys, that is it for this edition of Around the Rim. But we want to thank Gino Auriemma once again and Gabby Williams for joining us. It was a pleasure having them on the show and having them in studio. Be sure to check out the Huskies this week as they take on the number 10 Stanford Cardinals at 1:30 p.m. on ESPN. So they're kicking off the women's college basketball season for us, and we're excited to see them as well as all the other teams that we are going to be watching, talking to, hearing from throughout the duration of this season. Make sure you hit up LaChyna and myself on Twitter. You can follow LaChyna at LaChyna Robinson. You can follow me at SheKnowSports_. And make sure you use the hashtag Around the Rim. Talk to you later, guys.
Thank you for listening to Around the Rim. Check out more podcasts from ESPN on the ESPN app.